Diagnostic test. Listening section. Listen to part of a lecture in an American government class.
So today I want to go over the main points about what's called the Electoral College. That is the way that presidents are chosen in the United States. Also vice presidents too, of course. Now, some of you may think that the president is the candidate who gets the most votes from the voting public. Often that's true. But the way it works, it's not necessarily the one who gets the most votes from the public. In practice, it's the candidate who wins the most votes from the Electoral College. Okay, so let me try to make this clear. First of all, what is an elector? Well, an elector is a person, a member of a political party, who has been chosen by that party in a given state. Okay, so this person, this elector, is pledged to his or her party's candidate for president. So in any state, there are several electors. The number of electors in a state is equal to the number of U.S. senators plus the number of U.S. representatives in that state. Don't get confused here. The senators and representatives are not the same people as the electors. It's just that the numbers are the same. So, there are always two senators in each state, as you know, but the number of representatives depends on the population of the state. So, a populous state has several representatives, and a state without a lot of people will have only a few representatives. Some states, such as Alaska, which has a small population, for example, have only one representative at the current time. That means that Alaska will have three electors chosen by each political party. In total, there are currently 538 electoral votes in the whole country. Okay, so what happens when you vote in the presidential election? Well, what you have when you vote is a ballot, which normally says electors for, and then the names of each of the presidential candidates running. So you choose electors for the candidate of your choice. Here's the interesting part, in a way. Whichever candidate wins the most popular votes in a state also wins all the electors of that state. So back to the case of Alaska. The candidate who wins the greatest share of the vote from the general public wins three electoral votes. Those three electors become the electors of that state. Now, okay, there are a couple of exceptions to that, but we'll have a look at those next week. Now, the election for president, where all the voting public cast their votes, is, as you know, in early November. Okay. So, the electors of the state, remember, these are the people who were in effect chosen through popular vote and who will vote for the candidate of their party, meet in December, and they cast their votes, one for the president and one for the vice president. Okay, so the candidate with the most electoral college votes, provided it's an absolute majority, that is, over half the total of electoral college votes, is declared president. The same goes for the vice president. If no one gets an absolute majority, then the U.S. House of Representatives chooses the president from among the top candidates. Well, there are also some problems associated with this system that you will hear raised from time to time. One problem, for example, that I can mention right off the bat is that it's possible that the person who is declared president through having won the most electoral college votes may not have won the majority of the general public's votes. This has to do with the fact that the distribution of electoral votes tends to overrepresent people in less populous states. Now, those who favor this system point out, however, that it more accurately represents all parts of the country, not just the metropolitan populous regions. So, in effect, it balances out rural and urban regions and contributes to national cohesion. There are several other things that opponents of this system have put forward, but I'd like you to read up on those before we meet next week.
Now get ready to answer the questions. You may use your notes to help you answer. 1. What is the lecture mainly about? 2. According to the professor, who becomes an elector? 3. Why does the professor say this?
Don't get confused here. The senators and representatives are not the same people as the electors.
4. Why does the professor use the example of Alaska in the lecture? 5. Which candidate wins the presidential election? 6. What does the professor mean when she says this?
There are also some problems associated with this system that you will hear raised from time to time.